Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And our subject this evening is Christian stewardship. Well, we come to this theme after focusing on the themes of humility and zeal over the last 2 weeks as fundamental to the Christian life. We turn now to another fundamental of the Christian life, Christian stewardship. Now, normally when we think of Christian stewardship, our minds go immediately to financial stewardship or the giving of money. But I'm only going to talk very briefly about financial giving towards the end of the message, because Christian stewardship is about far more than just giving money. And well, like the last two themes that we have considered, humility and zeal, there is so much that we could say, many things that I will not have time to say, but all of the things that we will consider, I'm sure, will be very challenging to each and every one of us, myself included. But Christian stewardship, now the word itself, if you're not familiar with that word, it may confuse us. And so I'm going to spend the first half of this message explaining biblically what stewardship actually is. But before we do that, what is a steward? Now, as many of you will know, I like to Google things to get a dictionary definition. And so a steward, if you Google it, well, it will normally come up with something like this. A steward is a person employed to look after something, a person who supervises, who manages, who has responsibility for something. And that is what a steward is. I remember before I was saved, I used to attend a lot of football matches, and at these matches you had stewards. And what was the job of a steward? Well, it was his job to supervise, to look after all the supporters, to manage them, to ensure safety, to show them to their seats, to keep them in order. That was the role of a steward. And we have stewards in the church, of course. They do much the same thing. They show people to their seats, supervise, keep order. That is what a steward is. And this is at the heart of Christian stewardship. It is about management. And namely, it is about managing those resources that God has given you and to use them for his glory. Stewardship begins, really, with the fundamental understanding that everything that we have, everything that we possess, has been given to us by God. Everything that we own. Psalm 24, verse 1, we read, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The earth is the Lord's. Everything in the earth is the Lord's. All the resources, the mineral resources, the material resources, everything belongs to God. So therefore, everything that we have in this world has been given to us by God. Everything belongs to him. And so if we have anything in this world, and we have lots of things in this world, all of these things have been given to us by God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are simply looking after what God has given us. We are simply managing what God has given to us. We are simply stewards. Nothing is really our own possession. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What do you have that you did not receive?" says the Apostle Paul. God has given you everything. And so if you have received it from God, why do you act or why do you glory as though all that you have is your own work? All that you have created it for yourself. You haven't. God has given it to you. What do you have that you did not receive? We remember also the words of the Apostle Paul again in that same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the Apostle Paul, this is a tremendous statement. He's saying not even your body is your own. If you're a believer, most certainly, before we were saved, well, we had the attitude that our bodies were our own. My body and whatever I do with my body, it's my decision, it's my choice. It's my body after all. My life is my own. And so I will do whatever I want, whenever I want. I am my own possession. But when you are saved, you know this is not the case. Even your body is not your own, says the Apostle Paul. Your body, your life, everything belongs to God. They are God's possession. And so we are stewards of everything that we are, everything that we have. This understanding is at the heart of Christian stewardship. This understanding is, of course, at the heart of our faith. We have been purchased, the Apostle Paul says. You have been bought with a price. When we understand the price that was paid for us, the shed blood of Christ, that was the price that was paid. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the punishment for our sins. He's paid our sin debt. And so now we understand we belong to him. He has bought us. He has purchased us by his shed blood. We're no longer our own. And so how dare we act as though we are our own, according to our own will, according to our own decisions, and everything that belongs to us, well, it is the same. So this really is laying the foundations behind all of the practical applications we will make a little later on. But we are simply stewards. Everything that we have, we're simply looking after these things and managing these things. But they all belong to God. One Christian writer, just before we move on, put it this way, and I thought this was a good definition. Christian stewardship is a way of life in which we regard ourselves and all that we have as a trust from God to be used in his service for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's Christian stewardship, very well defined. And well, we see stewardship right throughout the Bible. Indeed, stewardship is right at the beginning of the Bible, and that's why I've turned to Genesis chapter 1, because we will see here that even in the creation of man, man's stewardship was very much in God's mind. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So even in the creation of man, God's thought, if I can put it that way, of creation, there is stewardship in mind. You could say that one of the reasons why man was created, why Adam was created, was to be a steward. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle. God is going to create the earth and man is going to have stewardship over the earth. Dominion, he's going to supervise, oversee, he's going to manage God's creation. So a stewardship is there right at the very start. And then verse 27 and verse 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. These are all tasks of stewardship, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the mandate right at the very start to man and his wife are to be stewards. Of course, they were the only ones capable of being stewards over the earth. The animals couldn't be stewards. Only man could fulfill this task. And then even in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, again to manage it. This beautiful place, the Garden of Eden, God was saying to Adam, see that it is not spoiled. Be a good steward of this garden, of this earth. Don't let the beauty of the garden fade. But the problem with Adam, of course, was that he was a bad steward. He was a bad steward. He did allow the garden, the world, to be spoiled, to be corrupted. He did not fulfill his responsibility. He disobeyed God. He sinned against God. And when he fell, well, the whole of the world fell also, the whole of creation. In other words, everything under his stewardship, was corrupted. His wife was cursed, the animals were cursed, the ground was cursed, the thorns and the thistles, and so on. He was a bad steward. If only he had obeyed God. If only he had obeyed God. Good stewardship must be accompanied with obedience to God. You cannot be a good steward and disobey God. It's only when we obey God that the things we possess will prosper, that the things we have will increase and will be blessed. We'll see this as we go on. If we disobey God, everything that we have, or most that you have, will ultimately be a hindrance, will be a burden, a disadvantage to you, a curse rather than a blessing. This is what has happened to Adam. The world that God had given to Adam, a beautiful world, God gave it to Adam, but because of Adam's disobedience, because of his sin, this perfect world now became a hindrance to him, not a blessing. This world was against him. It was a difficult world, a world that would now cause sorrow. And that's the way it is with us. You may have many resources. You may have a lot of money. But if you are disobedient to God, those things that you have will not yield their blessing, will not yield their increase. There'll be a hindrance to you. There'll be a disadvantage, a burden to you. And they will, certainly hinder your walk with the Lord. They will get in the way and distance you from God. There'll be no true blessing. And so Adam, because of his sin, all that he had, it turned against him. But later on in the book of Genesis, and I'm mentioning all this just by way of introduction, we'll get eventually to the practical side of things. Later on in this same book of Genesis, we have an example of a very good steward. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 39, and we will come to the account of Joseph. Now, Joseph was a good steward. Joseph, the son of Jacob, you know who he is, the one whose brothers sold him into slavery. And he was taken to Egypt, into the house of Potiphar. I won't go through all the narrative, but chapter 39 and verse 3. And his master, Potiphar, Joseph's master, saw that the Lord was with him, with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Joseph is a good steward, a faithful steward. He has been made steward over Potiphar's house. And you know the account as well as I do. Joseph, even when he was tempted, resisted temptation. Adam was a bad steward. In the Garden of Eden, he faced temptation and he fell. But Joseph faced temptation and he resisted. You know that Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce Joseph, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand." He's saying, "I'm a steward," in other words. "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So Joseph, he has a great awareness that God has given him all that he has. Everything that he has, God has given him Potiphar's favor. God has made him steward over his house. How can he now sin against God? How can he now commit this great wickedness and sin against God? And he resists, of course. And because he resists, well, again, I won't go through the whole narrative, but you know what happens. He is removed from Potiphar's house, yes, but he has a greater stewardship. He becomes a prime minister of Egypt, steward over the whole of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. That's how the Lord rewarded Joseph, because of his faithful stewardship. So stewardship is very important. See how greatly Joseph was blessed because of his stewardship. And see how greatly Adam was cursed because of his bad stewardship. Stewardship is important. This isn't some obscure theme that we're looking at. Look at the measure of the blessing and the cursing when it comes to stewardship and our attitude to these things. So this is very important. Well, now, if we move on to the New Testament and that passage that we read in Matthew 25, if you turn there with me, Matthew 25 and verse 14, well, this is a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave concerning stewardship, the parable of the talents, as it is known. Matthew 25 and verse 14, again, we'll just touch briefly, although there's lots that could be said about this parable regarding this theme particularly. But Matthew 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." So the illustration here is that of a Lord going away to a far country, And he has given talents, which is a sum of money, to his servants. And he has eventually returned. And he wants to know what his servants have done with that which he gave them. And of course, the illustration can be likened to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has left, who has ascended up on high, and he has given the church and Christians many wonderful gifts. And when Christ returns, we will have to give an account of how we have used the gifts that he has given us. That really is the illustration expounded here. And well, we have to bear that in mind. We must all give account of that which the Lord has given us. And when we look at this parable, just very briefly, we see that the Lord does not give equal amounts. He gives 5 talents to some and 2 talents to others. And 1 talent, of course, to one. So not everybody has the same opportunities or resources, as it were. And that's the same with us. God gives us according to his will. Some Christians will have more than others, more money than others, more time than others, more ability than others. But remember, if you do have more, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 12, verse 48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." If God has given you a greater ability to serve or greater privileges, there is a greater responsibility upon you, and you will have to give a greater account, as it were. But then we read of the Lord's reward in verses 20 and 21. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." This is somebody who has made the most of that which the Lord has given him. He had 5 talents, but he's gained 5 talents more. "And his Lord said unto him," in verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Well, when we read that, that reminds us of Joseph in the Old Testament, doesn't it? Joseph was faithful in a few things, in small things. Potiphar's house. He was faithful in Potiphar's house, and because he was faithful of that small thing, God gave him stewardship over the whole of Egypt. He was faithful, a faithful steward. And that applies to us, of course. If we are faithful with the gifts and the resources and the talents that we have, whatever they are, well, the Lord will add to them. He will bless them. There will be increase for us, more joy for us. And so the way to great blessing is faithfulness and using those things that the Lord has given to us. And these things, well, they're very important. But let us now turn just to some practical ways. What does it actually mean to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given us in the time that remains? Well, before we get to money and other things like that, may I remind you that the Lord does give us spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about tongues and so on, but there are spiritual gifts such as prayer. Prayer, well, that of course is a gift. Before you were saved, you never had a capacity to pray. You didn't know how to pray. But when you were saved, the Lord has given you that gift. You have that desire. You have that will. It is one of the first signs of salvation. You want to pray to the Lord. It's a gift that you never had before. How do you employ this gift? Are you a good steward of that gift? How do you manage your prayer life? Do you manage it in the right way? Do you spend time every day, daily, in prayer, It's a gift. You must exercise that gift and manage it. Make sure you have time set aside every day. Time to pray. Don't neglect the gift. Neglect prayer. So many Christians neglect prayer. That's not a good stewardship of the gift that God has given you, that the world cannot do. We must not neglect prayer. Manage the time of prayer constructively. It's good to make a list so that you don't miss anybody off, so that you pray for people at the right time. Stewarding that gift that you have, disciplined in prayer. That's what it is. Be a good steward of your prayer life. You could also add the gift of faith itself. Faith is a gift that has been given you, the gift of God, not of yourselves, of course, as the Apostle Paul wrote. It is a gift. We do not produce faith in and of ourselves. It's the work of God. So are you a good steward of faith? Do you protect your faith and exercise faith in every area of your life? Do you ask yourself, am I being faithful? Is there a part of my life in which I operate completely without faith? And I ought to have faith. Faith in God. No fear. Not leaning on worldly means or my own means. We are called to be children of faith. Nurturing faith. Reading the Word of God. Reading the promises. Thinking of all the ways in the past in which God has helped you to rekindle faith. This is a tremendous gift that has been given to us. And by the way, I ought to mention this. God gives us spiritual gifts at conversion. But there are some natural gifts or talents that we have before we are saved. And once we are saved, those natural talents that we have ought to be used for the glory of God. Those natural talents, what do I mean by this? Well, perhaps before you were saved, you had a talent for languages. You were a great linguist. Well, once you are saved, that talent must now be employed for the Lord, for God. Maybe you can translate sermons. Maybe you can witness to people. In London, there are people who speak a thousand different languages. Maybe you can use your skills to witness to them. The talents that we had before, we use for the Lord once we are saved. Perhaps you're a sociable person. Before you were saved, you were a social butterfly. You had the gift of the gab. Well, now you can use that to evangelize, door-to-door work. You have the gift of the gab, use it for the Lord. Know what to say and when to say it. Those talents must be used for God. Perhaps you were an active person, an athletic person. Why don't you put your energy to good use? The Sunday school, the youth group, the Friday meeting. All those talents that we had, we don't ditch them. We use those talents for the Lord. Steward, a steward of your talents. Stewarding everything that you have for God. And when we do that, well, then we will see how the Lord will increase those talents more than we ever thought possible when we submit them for the use of our dear Savior. But let us come now to money. I'll only be very brief. We don't like to speak about money and giving here in this church, although we are blessed in that way by God's grace. But money, well, what can we say? Well, again, it begins with this understanding that everything that we have belongs to the Lord, including your money. Now, if we just turn very quickly to Luke chapter 21, and well, you probably know where I'm going with this, but Luke 21, and this is the example, of course, that the Lord gives us. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And well, the Lord makes this point, gives this example. Well, of course, what comes through, of course, is the great theme that everything that this widow had belonged to the Lord. She knew and she understood this, but also that this that the poor widow gave was costly. There was a measure of sacrifice there. You get the impression, and it is most certainly implied here, that when the rich men cast their gifts into the treasury, well, they didn't really care because they were so rich. Didn't really affect them at all. They could afford to give as much money as they gave. There was no real cost there. There was no real sacrifice there. But she, out of her penury, out of her poverty, this was a costly giving. One that meant that she had to go without in other areas. The rich men, I'm sure, they didn't have to go without in their offerings. But this woman, well, it was sacrificial. And that really, there ought to be a measure of costliness in our giving, of sacrifice in our giving. That's what the Lord sees. That's what the Lord commends. Of course, there is to be no waste of our money. Whatever money we have, we must be careful we don't waste it on extravagant things, things that we don't need, worldly things. And concerning giving, well, do we review our giving constantly? Many people have their direct debits, and that's a good thing. But do we review how much we give? There'll be some months when we can give more than other months. Do we think of that? Are we open to that? To give to the church? If there is a particular need in the church, are we willing to meet that need, even if it costs us in some way? But of course, when we mention all of this, and I don't want anybody to have the wrong idea, this must be a free will offering, and it must be given cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's so important. Cheerful stewards, not just of our financial giving, but everything that we give to the Lord. Cheerful giving. Are we good stewards of time? Again, not wasting time. All the time that you have, it's the Lord's time. It helps, again, to have a plan for each day. Plan your days, manage your time, so that you know that every part of your day is well spent. You can have free time, of course, but do you use your free time wisely? Not being idle or watching or listening to something that will draw you away from God. In your free time, use that time wisely. Read an edifying book, for example. Listen to a sermon. Don't do something that will draw you away from God. Wasting time, that's not a good steward of time. Plan your recreation and plan your days, because your time is the Lord's. We live on borrowed time, of course. We are not on this earth for very long, so we cannot afford to waste the time that the Lord has given us. Our homes, do you know that our homes are not our own? We should never have that attitude that they belong to us, and nobody's coming into our house. Our house belongs to us. Hospitality, of course, is a good use of our homes. We have, and I'll just be very brief on this point, and you don't need to turn to it, but in the first letter of Peter and chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, use hospitality one to another without grudging, As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards, hospitality, mentioned in the same breath as stewardship. Your home, your property, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord, and so we use it for his glory. Families, the husband, the head of the household, are you managing, stewarding the family in the right way? Husbands, of course, but wives also, families with children particularly. How are children being raised? How are you managing your children? Children are a gift from God. Are you raising them in the right way? Raising them to seek the Lord? That's the great priority. Education is important, of course. Pastimes and hobbies and development are important, of course. But the great priority, the great aim for your children is that they know Christ, that they come to repentance and faith in Christ. That's the great aim. Are you managing them in that way, stewarding them in that way? That's the priority, that they be saved. So we have to think of our family life, our home life, and husbands particularly, am I stewarding the family in the right way? We'll be answerable to God for all of these things. And finally, well, we think of the church itself. Many ways of stewarding in the church. A minister, a pastor, of course, has to steward, has to manage the flock of a church, steward them well, care for them, no matter how small or how large the church is. A minister, of course, will be answerable to the Lord for the way in which he has shepherded his flock. So he must make sure everything is in order. And the members of the church must be aware of that. The aim or the duty of the pastor is to honor the Lord, is to honor him and to serve him and to put him first in all things. That's what it is to be a good steward. And so the members must be aware of that. The members must be good stewards, of course. But all of us, and this is my last point, all of us must be good stewards of the gospel. The gospel message. The gospel message is the greatest gift that we have been given. And we must protect it. We must guard it with our lives, if we have to. The gospel, the word of God, always defending it, always preaching it, always keeping it from compromise, keeping it from errors, keeping it from being watered down. If we don't, we're not good stewards of the most precious thing that God has given to us. We must be so vigilant and diligent in this. Guarding the word of God, guarding the church, of course, from false teaching, from error, and guarding one another. If we do this, then there will be blessing. Then there will be increase. Then there will be growth. Just as we have seen in the examples we have looked at, where there is good stewardship, there is growth and blessing and prosperity. Where there is bad stewardship, and perhaps we've seen this in a number of churches recently, where there is bad stewardship, eventually it will show. No growth, difficulties, hardship, no blessing at all, coldness, and perhaps even the Lord taking the gospel light away from those places. So may the Lord help us to obey him and to protect this gospel message, to be good stewards of that and everything that the Lord has given to us, everything that we have. This is the great message. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are not our own. We belong to him, and so everything that we have, we give back to him. That is at the very heart of Christian stewardship. And I hope that that has been a help to you and a blessing to you in the days ahead.